It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Northeastern, north by Canadian border in Idaho and Columbia River, Washington State, not D.C., we're west, yay. All right, what we're going to do today is in the next show, if you guys are on the stream, we're going to be having Alma Summer. She's going to be talking about Jackalope Freedom Festival going into its 11th year. This is probably the first one that I'll likely miss. You know, we're busy building domes up here. So, matter of fact, I got to go get like 4 pallets of Portland cement today. We're rock and roll and whatnot. And it's like lay work. And I need lay help. You can get your butt over here and help me, guys. You know, somebody. You know, we had some people up here and come and go and visit. And, hey, I thought it was a vacation. I'm working, man. I go, yeah. You know, well, you know. But we're having fun. Now, what we're going to do in the first hour, we're going to be talking to Ron Renaud. Now, Ron Renaud, okay? Ron, help me say that. Renaud?
Yeah, it's some amalgamation of the first two. Renaud, like audio, Renaud.
Renaud, right? Renaud, I get it?
You got it, money.
All right. Ron Renaud, I met at, we sat there and shared a cigar with Richard Groves, always got cigars. You know, we were at Porkfest at Jordan Page's concert that he did in the campground there, and it was awesome. I mean, it was awesome. Matter of fact, he lives only about 5 miles from here, you know, so you know, we know Jordan pretty well. We're up and staying up near where he's at. And so we'll go get to visit with him, you know, several times. Now, he and Mary, wife Mary, went. She often doesn't hit the road with him, but they made sure she came out. And she sang some, too. And everything. It was awesome. It was a great time. I mean, he went over 4 hours. Oh, my God. But he's got plenty of material. Now, Ron and I, you know, at the beginning, we got to yak it a little bit, share a cigar, and come to find out that he is, I don't know what you'd call a professional life coach kind of guy. And I just, you know, yakking about, I go, wow, this guy's really interesting. I think that we should have him on the show. And go ahead, and I got a bunch of questions, and I got a line of thought here I think you guys will find interesting. Now, Ron Renaud is Ron Renaud is an internationally acclaimed professional coach and teacher, as well as an author of Uncompromised. Over the last 25 years, Ron has coached hundreds of people, from wealthy entrepreneurs looking toward creating what next to elite athletes trying to balance a very demanding life, from young men just discovering who they are to men in recovery rediscovering who they are. Philosophically, Ron coaches those who have a love of freedom and a commitment to knowing, respecting, and governing themselves toward living their version of an uncompromised life. Now, his site is Ron Renaud. .com, RONRENAUD. Yeah, like audio. Okay. Ron Renaud. All right. Now, let's go ahead and get into it and say, you know, see what his pretty face. Ooh, 80 Purdy. Oh, there you go. Oh, a little gray going on, you know, just a teeny bit. Man, it's awesome. All right. What I wanted to talk to Ron about, and, you know, I kind of prepped him a little bit, but what's of interest to me as we get into the times that we are now, and people, they got issues. I mean, hell, they got issues. But the biggest thing is, you know, for me, I just go, you know, I commit to certain things, and I got so many things on my plate, and I do get a lot done, but I'm just like, wow, it'd be a lot easier if I just had a big, giant, heaping dose of testosterone. That would help. But then, you know, Donna probably wouldn't like it. Eh, she might like it. You never know. But, you know, it's but I've mellowed out as I've gotten older and not so – I'm like my own adjective. I'm, you know, get so Ernie, you know. But the biggest thing that I wanted to talk to Ron, or at least start off with, is what he's dealing with. You know, a lot of times we talked a little bit here in his intro about who, you know, and, you know, why, you know, they want to rediscover who they are and become, you know, the best men that they can be. And you generally deal with men, right?
Lots of men. There are some ladies, though. You know, I typically market myself towards men, but it's there are some ladies that, yeah, I mean, I can go into why, but essentially, yeah, no, I do coach ladies as well. But
okay, now
men.
This is what I was interested in. Is, you know, there's how you do it, and there's, you know, where, I guess you know, by Zoom calls, or do you have any, because you're in upstate New York, so I don't know how you're trampling around the universe, but you're probably doing it digitally. You know, you have, you know, the who you kind of described, you know, and how we'll talk about a little bit. But the main thing that I was interested in is what you're dealing with. And right. Doing this for 25 years, and hell, you look 25. Anyway, so doing this 25 years, you know, I'm really interested in how humanity, or certainly American young men, have evolved. And what's the average age of the people that you're dealing with? Does it span a great deal? Is there more need
spans.
Younger or what?
Yeah, well, I'm working right now with a young man who's 19. I started working with him when he was 17. I'm working with the oldest person I'm working with. I only carry a few clients at this point, but the guy's about 57, 58. But I've coached older folks, men, you know, men maybe close to 70. And youngest man I've ever worked with or person was 15-year-old man and young man. And it's a little bit too young. You need a little more maturity. That comes, of course, with age. But yeah. That's the range.
So what is the problem? What are they looking for? What have you seen as a thread that is a common ailment, you know, emotionally or mentally or spiritually? And what is that you're trying to unlock? Is it a confidence thing? Is it, you know, life skills, structure, time management? I mean, give me the what. I'm really interested in the what and how it's evolved over the last, certainly since freaking COVID, but I mean, even before that, you know, help me out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, there, you've said about 40 things since the introduction that I could jump in on from mixing Portland.
So you can
Portland,
monologue me. Go, man.
I'm just going to riff with a few things you threw over. And then I'll make sure I answer your question. So I'm just shy of 50 years old. I know I don't look it, but I am. I used to be a mason, a bricklayer. I was better at plastering, pouring concrete, and I'm
Get
building my cabin.
Get your ass over here and help me.
Sorry, brother. It's too far away. Where are you? Too far away. Right. I'm busy that day. So I'm actually building my cabin in upstate New Hampshire right now as I transition fully. I'm transitioning myself, you know, from upstate New York to upstate New Hampshire. It's an improvement, though. Anyway, actually, let me tell you a quick anecdote about that I think the audience will appreciate. When I was a full-time mason, I was maybe 22 years old. And I went to a this very, very wealthy guy on Long Island, and I didn't have much money. I went to his home for a martial arts tournament. This guy flew a real fancy pants guy in to do some training. And I had been talking to the guy, hoping to, you know, learn from him. He said, look, I'm coming to your neck of the woods, which was about 4 hours away, but whatever. I drove down. And the host invited me to dinner with, you know, the other students and the teacher. And I said, sure, I'd love to go. And it was, you know, this massive mansion. Well, anyway, he pulls up with his father in a Rolls Royce. I'd never been in a Rolls with all the wood and the leather. It was just, you know, you could die in that thing. It was so beautiful. Anyway, They said, well, Ron, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a Mason. They got so excited that we're Masons too. And I said, really? And I'm thinking, well, their hands aren't full of scabs and calluses, and they don't look all beat up. There's something's missing. And I said, they said, well, where are you out of? I said, well, you know, bricklayers and allied craftsmen, union number two, and, plaster. And they're like, oh, crestfallen.
No,
I wasn't the kind of Mason that they are.
Well, you think, they'd have at least know how, you know.
No, they were meat packers. They were I think they were the largest or second largest meat packers in all of New York City. So that's where they made their money. But gentlemen, good folks, but all my credibility that was gained in an instant was lost just as quickly. Anyway, and it's sort of an inside, scoop into, all the stuff that's going on in the world behind the scenes, and not that they were dialed into it, but in some way, of course, the Masons are part of it. So anyway, what do I do? Well, my job is ultimately, Ernest, to help people live out. I call it the uncompromised version of their life. The idea is people come to me who are very successful financially, emotionally, relationally, health-wise, and they want to get to the next level. I've also worked with people who are in really rough shape or just, there's just something that's just not working. And the idea is, I don't care who, and I tell this to everybody that either is interested in working with me or people who ultimately work with me, this is what we're going to do. We're going to focus on who you are showing up as. It's always about being. You are, right, the qualities. If you are honest and gentle and kind and thoughtful and, rigorous and think of all these wonderful qualities that any of us might live. If you're showing up with those qualities, you're going to create a certain result in your life. If you are sad or angry or frustrated or bitter, you're going to feel certain things. You're going to have certain options that are very different than the other ones that I mentioned. You're going to take different actions. You're going to get a different result. So I don't care what you're up to. We always focus on your integrity with yourself. Who are you? What do you want? And follow through on the little things, the little habits. Brush your teeth, make your bed, put your stuff away. Whatever and I'm not telling you like this is everybody has to brush your teeth. Everybody has to put their stuff. No.
Clean your room.
Well, the idea is what's important to you. And once you have thought about that and articulated it, what happens if you don't do it? You don't believe yourself when you talk. And so you have no power in the world because you don't believe yourself and people feel the disconnect in your words. So you got clear about what you want and you got to follow through on it. When you have power in your own world, you've got power out there. So that's the attention all the time. And I don't want to monologue it, but I'll just at least tease and say that over the last 25 years, look, people are still working on living a better life. They're still looking to make more money. They're still looking to get in better shape. But, as you and I know, and this audience, of course, knows, is things have really heated up over the last, well, we could say since 2008, 2001, 2008, right? There's some big benchmarks. But the last couple of years, things have really, really shifted. And I'm going to be very brief because I'm sure you'll have more questions is, even those that I work with who are not in, freedom mindset like you and I have, there's an agitation, there's a us versus them, there's a dismissal in many cases of the other. Now, this is not universal, but I've noticing more of like a matter of fact, of course you're getting the COVID shot. Of course. Why would this not be this way? It's a confirmation of what I would say probably figured out maybe 20 years ago. Call me a slow learner, call me a fast learner. I don't know. But there's a tribalism, of course, that's more and more apparent. And people are not as smart as I thought they were. When I was a younger man, you think there's a doctor, it's a lawyer, this is a very successful person with many millions or maybe a couple billion dollars. And you just assume then that their life is symmetrical. And so often, man, look at your own life. Look at my life. I might be brilliant here, but I'm struggling over there. And boy, for the most part, people are grossly ignorant about what's going on in the world. And they are being run by the fear that's given them, that has them, supporting Ukraine, disarming Americans, arming Taliban, and celebrating it all at the same time. And helping people be more consistent in their thinking, I would say, has never been more important. And, you know, how I do that.
What do they come to you for? I mean, yeah, I need to be better. I need to produce more. I need an assistant. That's what I need. I need. You know, where are my kids? Man, I used to have four kids that used to do everything, you know. Yeah. So, and we ran a family restaurant, and we've done a lot of, I mean, they were, you know, but once they, really, I made use of more when they're preteens. Once they get, you know, testosterone and estrogen flowing, I just stood back and watched, you know, because, you know, I don't want to get in that whirlwind. But the, you know, it was really fun. You know, Donna and I really enjoyed our kids being, now we got grandkids and so on. But what I really need is an assistant, or do I? You know, Donna's like maxed out, I'm maxed out. And then, you know, what is it? What? I'm really going to focus on.
Well, here's what's going on. Like, if you and I were talking, if I was coaching you and you were saying, like, Ron, I need an assistant, like, that's a great thing. Now, you wouldn't come to me saying, I need an assistant. That's not the thing. But you would be saying, and I'm making stuff up here, but Ron, the podcast is rocking. I've got, you know, Freedom's Phoenix. The site is, it's taken up so much time. We're having great impact, but I know I could do more. I know I want to do these other three projects. I don't have the bandwidth. Donna doesn't have the bandwidth, and I need to figure something out. I got big aspirations.
Definitely.
And so what we would say is, I say, great. So what specifically do you want? I mean, that's the granddaddy of them all questions. What do you want? Well, I want this, this, and this.
Great. I want everything I'm doing now, plus more.
Great. So more. So the major question, like I said before, is, okay, who do you need to be? Like, what kind of man can handle this? How do you have to show up? Like, I would go there, but I would first go like, okay, what clarity do you have? Because it's going to be, you're going to go like, I want this, I want this, I want that. Great. So let's do one at a time. Ron, you know what? I need to hire an assistant like immediately because I can't keep up with X. Great. So what will you do? Now, the thing is it's not, coaching is not just about go do. Because that anybody can tell you to go do anything. I mean, your wife tells you to go do six things. You don't want to do it. Why? Because you got your own timing, your own ideas, your own whatever. You tell your wife to go do things. And how often have you gone to a party and she's been like, I just talked to the guy and he said, I'm going to do this and I'm going to start doing it. And you're thinking, for 5 years, I've been telling you to do this. And she got right. One, it's somebody outside of your, you know, immediate community. And second is, it's about timing. And the idea is people come to coaching when they are ready for a change. They want something. So the timing is right. And then the idea is, I'm going to help you not do the monkey brain that bounces all over, just spins around in the same conversation. I'm going to go, wait. You just said you needed an assistant. What are you going to do with that? Oh, right. Now we're having to think new thoughts. Now we're having to push past that comfort zone or that place where you might medicate with ice cream or marijuana or sleep or whatever, because you can't deal with that. It's too much, or you don't want to think about it, or, you know, what have you. So my job is to go, wait. You said that's important. What are you going to do there? And to make sure you're choosing from a powerful place, right? From a internal motivation, a real want, rather than a should. I guess I'll do this. I guess I'll do that. Because that's no place to create a life from. Because once you do that, look what you're stuck with. You're stuck with a bunch of shoulds that you checked all mom's boxes or your wife's boxes or your, you know, your audience's boxes. And meanwhile, you know, here you are living somebody else's life because you did what everybody else wanted you to do. So.
Well, I'm looking at, you know, somebody comes in, you know, let's go ahead and give some scenarios here. Somebody comes to you with a desire to be what? See, I'm interested in the what, not as
they don't usually come with the being. They don't usually come saying, I want to be, they do occasionally, like, I want to be more disciplined. But the big thing is they want a result.
A result. See, this is why I'm going to be hammering on this what thing.
Hammer it.
You know. What is it that a lot of people that you see is a common trend, you know, a common theme?
Health, relationships, money.
You know, and they, health, relationships, money.
Okay. It always boils down to those things. And it's going to be, if someone wants to be closer to God, well, that's because it's a relationship with themselves, the relationship out in the world. If someone wants to make more money, well, that's that. They want better fitness. They want more. They want to have more power and, you know, more influence at their work or as an employer.
Well, what right? do they expect you to do? They're hiring you. You know, you're not, you're friend for hire. Okay. So it's like, yeah, I'll be your buddy. It costs this much. Okay.
Absolutely.
So you go in and they say, all right, what I'm expecting out of this is something, you know, they're,
yeah.
What's that word? Oh yeah. What? You know, I'm like, you know, they're looking for what and why, you know, because, you know, the thing is, you know, there's a lot of people, they're on the wrong path, or they spend, you can, I tell you what, you can tell the people that are all afraid, or they're
totally,
they're FOMO'd up, you know, I can't miss it, I gotta get my, you know, 14th booster, you know, I saw this one cartoon meme as a guy running, but I've already been vaccinated 3 times. The guy's chasing him with a needle going, come here, you anti-vaxxer, you know, and you got number 4 or 5 coming. So, and a lot of people that do that, or they're, and you can tell the ones that are that way, or the, you know, the lawn Nazis, or the, you know, freaking vaccine Nazis, or the, you know, the Karens or whatever, they're, it's to the degree that they spend time on Facebook, to the degree that they spend, because this has to be something, because bandwidth hasn't been, you know, really, you know, fiber, what, 03, 05. I remember, you know, it was the first presidential candidate. Okay, I'll give you this. In 2004, when Howard Dean was running for the Democratic nomination, then later they threw him a bone, he became Democratic National Committee Chair or some crap like that. But they were doing flash mobs, you know. All of a sudden, boom, bunch of people would show up. He's raising money, and the machine went, the hell is this, man? We don't like this. Then YouTube hits. YouTube hits in like 05, and that's what I was waiting on for Freedom's Phoenix since the mid-90s. I go, when video hits the internet, oh, that'll never happen, you moron. Bandwidth, this and that, and you don't know how it works and whatever. And I go, yeah, whatever. Well, when it does, well, it did, so we pulled the trigger. By 07, you know, January of 07 is when Ron Paul, you know, was running, and we, but here we go. The people had the power, you know, the bandwidth, the video to do, and it just exploded. And we knew it would, and, you know, here we go. Well, that you could see the beginnings of it kind of in 04. It had this mass resource that people could, you know, exercise their own will or be able to share. And all of a sudden, the broadcast news kind of went down. Nobody cares. Well, of course, now when you get Elon trying to buy Twitter, 90% bots, of course. Why? Because they can't. I mean, you know, it's all psychological manipulation. And yep. I'm old enough to have seen when we started with email in the early 90s, then, you know, I have, you know, teenagers, you know, preteens and teenagers go with MySpace, and you go, look, you know, when they talk about permanent record, this is what they were talking about, okay? So don't be stupid. You don't need to be giving out everything. I mean, you know, that kind
of
thing. Well, then it goes to Facebook and Farcebook, you know, here we go. So what I'm looking at is I've seen an actual technological change, a digitization of manipulation and control. And I wanted to see, you know, talking to you, this is what I was interested in. People have changed because physiologically, you know, psychologically, certainly, they've been changed. You know, this has been just a beat, you know, freaking Disney once you gay. All the frogs are gay. I mean, you know, whatever the hell they're doing, right? So I'm going, okay, how does that manifest in your business? You get these people coming to you. Is that a theme? You know, is it, you know, people that have been externally, they got matrix jacked in and something's happening. So for society or America, goal one, get off the freaking internet. Or goal one, you know, spend more time doing whatever, physical.
Yeah, go to nature, go for a walk, put the damn device down. Listen, a couple things. People don't come to the lawn Nazis that you were saying, or the people who are chasing after the next vaccine and are panicking and living like that. Those people that you see on, whether it's on TV or Twitter, or whatever, attracted to coaching. Coaching is about changing. It's about, I would say it's about becoming the best version of yourself, not changing into something else. It's an important distinction. But for our purposes, coaching is about changing. And those people are not interested in changing. They're open. They want to be validated in terms of what they already know. Now, I would say you and I are of the ilk of, whoa, wait, it turns out 9/11 was this. It's like, oh, I care more about truth, right? And to the best of my ability, I nurture that within myself. I'd care more about truth than being right. Well, why? Well, because truth is orienting. The average person out there, unfortunately, would rather have confirmed that which they already believe, because otherwise knowing something else or learning something that, you know, is going to really upset your apple cart is ultimate responsibility. It means you have to rethink everything. It means you've got to change what you're doing. It means you're going to lose friends. It might mean you have to lose your job. So first and foremost, the people in coaching typically are, and are going to put their money down, are they're wanting to change. Now that said, there are coaches who charge a lot less than I do, with sort of like the bar of entry is a lot lower, where even the coaches are not very, very, very great. And so there's not a lot of pushback and challenge, where ultimately these coaches are endorsing what they're already doing. Those coaching relationships don't last long because people don't want to pay to have what they're already doing underwritten. Even if they can't, don't know that, they feel it.
Yeah.
So if you're asking me, which I know you are, is like, okay, but what about you, Ron? What specifically have you? The people I'm working with are go-getters, whether they've gotten the vaccine or not, whether they, you know, I worked with a woman the other day who, sharp gal, we're having these great conversations. In fact, she's a gal that I'm mentoring. She's not somebody I'm coaching directly. There's a little coaching, but mostly I'm mentoring her. Turns out she had done some, work with the NFL, and I said, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. I was a Packers fan. She said, oh, I love the Packers until Aaron Rodgers became a jerk. And I know what she was. And I just didn't even go there, because here's the thing is, my job is not to teach people to become something else, not to move them into being, you know, convince them that this is a scamdemic, that the vaccine is either part of the eugenics program or, you know, minimally it's a total, you know, money. It's all about money. And worst case scenario, it's about wiping out a majority of or a good portion of the population. This is not my agenda where I can jump in there and do that. And I want to make another point in a second here, the distinction between a friend and a coach in a moment here. But she said that note about Aaron Rodgers, and immediately I went, oh yeah, because Aaron Rodgers is like, I'm not getting vaccinated. You're going to test me. You're going to do whatever. Fine. Just not going to get vaxxed. And that in her mind made him a jerk. And I went, okay, well, I know some territory I can't go with her. But here's my contention, though I'm putting my attention marketing wise on coaching more and more people in the freedom community. My job is not to go, oh, those people are statists, or oh, those people are idiots, or whatever. Because guess what? My goal is heaven on earth, freedom, peace, love, and all within ourselves and out there in the world. If I'm busy judging everybody and, you know, real harsh judgment of like, they are idiots, they are statists, they are whatever, then I've already cut them off. Relationship is over. There's no way for me to, if I'm any good, have an influence on somebody to do better, to think more clearly, to live more consistently. So my job is to work with these folks and help them become the best version of themselves, that they will see things more clearly and come to their own conclusions about things, in particular around these things. I want to add one more thing.
Okay, go ahead. I got
one more thing and I'll let you go. There's a quote that I've adapted for coaching. And so I won't take credit for it, but it goes like this. Your best friend loves you the way you are. Your coach loves you too much to leave you the way you are. My job, like where you know, I always tell this story. My dad has had cancer and a couple heart attacks and all this stuff. And I was trying to get him, I don't know if you read Ed Griffin's book, World Without Cancer, trying to get him to, you know, apricot seeds, you know, do all sorts of things to get nitrilicides, B17, Laetril into his body, create an oxygen rich environment rather than an oxygen poor environment. He didn't want to hear it, didn't want to hear it. I kept pushing. And at some point he got ticked off at me, didn't want to hear it. And guess what I did? I backed off. Why? Because I'd rather have a relationship with my father than no relationship with my father. Your best friend, your son, loves you the way you are. At some point, I'm going to stop pushing him because I'd rather be in a relationship. As a coach, I'd rather have you fire me because I'm pushing you so hard because you are capable of this, Ernest. That's bullshit what you're doing right there, and you know it. Then I can back off and let you deal with it. But I'd much rather lay it down hard, and you're paying me, you know, you would be paying me to give it to you straight so that we can go like, oh man, now we can deal with reality. But your best friend doesn't want you to have full on reality. He wants to keep you as a friend with a certain degree of unconsciously agreed upon reality.
All right, come on, man. All right, I got to ask you this. You're married, right? Are you married?
I am very married.
Okay, women want to change. They want to change you. You got to
I know where you're going. Go ahead, lay it on me.
You're wrong. I mean, you know. So, if I can get them to, oh, hey, you know, come back off on this over here and back, you know, where do you draw the line? And, you know, so it's why it's always good it's never, you're never a prophet in your own land. You know, you're not going to, you know, be able to change. That's why it always takes someone else.
Well, familiarity breeds contempt. And that's another thing that we're talking about. Your wife will, you've been saying something or she's been saying something to you for 3 years and you've saw, heard somebody say it at a party and suddenly it's a good idea. So there's that, that weird phenomenon.
You know, I'm usually pretty open to what I tell you what, you know, personally, I think a lot of my problem or anyone's is just give a crap. You know, my son-in-law had to up his testosterone a little bit. I mean, you know, guy's buff. He goes, my give a crap just went to crap. You know, I just, you know, it's just like, eh, you know, he's operating well. It just wasn't that, you know, the peak performance he wouldn't check, and his testosterone was low. And my daughter's was high. So, man, that was a dynamic, you know. So I'm going, well, man, you need to up it. So that might be, you know, something to deal with. But as I get older, you know, you get older. But I kind of like how I've seasoned a little bit. I'm like, yeah, I needed to dial on that testosterone, kind of lower it when I was younger. Now I need to, well, you're gonna get a little bit.
Nudge now.
And that's one thing that is of interest to me real quick is, are there chemical imbalances? Do you ever address that? You know, is it something that, you know, you need to stop eating this, you get too much of that, you're in this environment, that all of a sudden there's something you think they're rational, they got it together, and there's just some, a lot of times it's thyroid, you know, it's metabolism.
Could be,
or something, you know, so is, and that's could be our modern environment. God knows what's going on. They got,
well, totally. You were just saying, like, who knows what's in our plastic water bottles, in our food, you know, that's having what effect? Is that messing with man's testosterone? Is it jacking it up for ladies? Like, we don't know, you know, is what's in this capable to crank up testosterone in women and dial it down for men? I don't know, but we know the testosterone has hit the, gone into the gutter.
Yeah,
for men,
infertility
over
is
decades.
Dumped, everything. There's, you're not just dealing with emotional or how much time you spend on Facebook, you're dealing with chemicals and pollutants.
Well, and you're right. You know, it could be electromagnetic pollutants as well. And what effect is that having? I mean, this blue light stuff is not good for us either. And so, you know, I had, and I'll come back, I think, more directly to what we're talking about. But, you know, I've got 36 acres not too far from where Porkfest is in Lancaster. I'm in near Littleton, New Hampshire. And I tell you, man, I go for a walk there and I disappear. And there's a line from Ralph Waldo Emerson where he talks about walking into the woods, you leave the knapsack or backpack of custom behind. And it's funny because you go in the woods and it's like your PR campaign about being cool or you think you're so smart. It means nothing when you're out in nature. It means nothing. And there you get to drop all that off and just be with the divine, be with God, be with nature, whatever you call it. It's all good. And man, we need far more of that. We've become way too addicted to these phones, to prepared food, to all this stuff that we have no idea what's going on in there versus you're eating the deer you shot, you're having the blackberries that grow on your land and all that stuff. And I think some of this, I mean, the pendulum swings, right? So everything has gotten so convenient, so easy, so packaged, so chemical laden. And I think with some of the chaos that's coming, we're going to be forced to eat much closer to home and probably a lot better than we have over the last several decades. That said, what's going on with people that I never directly address unless people bring it up, you know, the food they eat, the stuff, the sheets they sleep on. I mean, there's chemicals all over that, the air we're breathing, all that stuff going on. Now, that's going to affect mood, right? Your chemical makeup is going to check to deal with affect what you were talking about before, your heart rate is going to affect how you're breathing is going to trigger this part of your brain or that part of your brain. Certain chemical concoctions are going to make you anxious or sad or nervous. How you move your body, how you carry yourself has an effect on your mood, and, you know, of course, then what you do in the world and the results you create. And we haven't even gotten into the question of, well, what about people who maybe drink a little too much or smoke a little too much of this or do that? And that does come up sometimes. You know, I do work with some really successful people, financially, that is.
Oh, you still there? I'll wait for it to connect. Freaking Starlink satellite went out of orbit or something.
You know, have a tendency towards this or that, you're going to have now free reign to do whatever your sin of choice is. And so there are occasions where people get caught up. doing stuff that they, you know, they, you know, wish they wouldn't or shouldn't be doing in terms of chemical stuff. And of course, are you still there, Ernest?
Yeah, no, it was reconnecting. Starlink had a, I don't know, a burp.
Had a glitch. Okay. Yes, I mean, that stuff can happen, and then we got to address that. But that becomes, you know, it's the same thing as the chemical, whether it's chemical and you're unconscious of what's going on, or chemicals in terms of you're drinking too much, eating too much, smoking too much, sleeping too much, whatever the thing of choice is. You know, you go shopping, you shop and shop and shop. And why? Because it's feeding something. There's an endorphin rush. You're flooding your body with that. And what is it? You're getting that hit by doing this thing that you really shouldn't be doing, and it's not sustainable. So all the time it gets to go back to that, which I can take part in helping somebody control, which is, what's going on? How are you showing up? What are you committed to? What are you actually doing? And, you know, let's get conscious and create from there.
So that's, you know, I have a friend, a close friend that, shopping. She's a shopper. I mean, I don't know. I just thought, you know, as a woman thing, she's got money. She likes shopping. It's an endorphin hit, you know?
Totally.
I didn't even think of that it was a chemical thing. You know,
I worked with a gal probably 15 or so years ago. And one of the things we had her do, we came up with together was, I mean, she had tons and tons of money and she was shopping and spending so much. She came home from work. She was alone. She was lonely. And that was her way of just kind of killing some time and filling herself. She couldn't even, she couldn't even afford the space. Like she lived in a nice apartment in Chicago, but you don't, there's only so much room in there. And so one of the things we had her do to become, right, who we are drives what we do creates our results. What we had her do was to become more mindful about how she spends her money and who she was showing up as was, she had a bad habit of when she'd go to get coffee in the morning, throwing a bunch of money in the meter to get her Starbucks or whatever, like, you know, 3, 4, 5 quarters. She only needed a quarter. So it was something as simple as putting the exact change in that she needed when she parked downtown. And that created the mindfulness of, oh, wait, do I really need this blouse? Do I really need this thing? So I guess what I want to say just in this little example of your friend who spends a lot. Yeah, we get our feel goods a whole sort of unhealthy ways where, you know, a little bit's good, but then we get way out of balance. So what do? We just find ways to get little victories. You just put the one quarter in the meter. And now you're actually acting out the way you want to be in the world in a small way. That's a victory. You build it here. That's why we're telling making your bed, clean your room, whatever. It's like, do those little things that you say are important. And then you build momentum. You build your sense of self. That sense of self is heightened. It grows. And then you go out and you create the results you're wanting.
Yeah.
So it always starts with little stuff.
This brings us back to the what again. You know, it's, you know, what are they feeding? And it's like you were saying, she was lonely. And some people, they can be lonely in a crowd. I mean, you know, but
totally.
Is there something that's changed over the last, you've been doing 25 years, you know, a couple of decades. So that puts you into, you know, the 90s. And I've seen it change with the advent of broadband media, you know, of having, you know, with cable, it was like there's 200 channels and nothing's on. Well, with internet and streaming, you know, there's 5 billion channels and you can probably go find something if you really wanted to.
There's no end to you ever being entertained. In fact, we languidly, you know, flip, oh, another guy getting shot, somebody else getting electrocuted on the third rail, whatever, and we all watch this guy do whatever, jump off a parachute over here. Nothing impresses us anymore. You know, so what's the difference? Listen, I sound like the old timers when we were younger, man, is the world is moving much quicker. You know, I love David Icke, who talks about, you know, how they first you're going to get a computer on your desk. Now you're going to get one for your lap. Now you're going to have a phone. Now you're going to have, you know, the wearables. So all something right. for your ear, something for your watch. And then at some point, and they're already pointing to it, right? It'll be something for your brain. It'll make you think faster, be better, all that other stuff. And then you've just given up your autonomy at that point. You know, we're already too far down that road. So what have I noticed in terms in the last 25 years or so? I mean, being 50, we can look back at when, you know, whatever, you rode your bike as a kid. If you and you wandered around looking for something to do. Well, then Atari comes out or Coleco. Well, there's only a few good games. And so you've only got so much attention. You know, you can only do so much of that, whether 26 channels. But like you said, more there's more entertainment. There's no reason to stop pleasing yourself.
Metaverse.
Never. Think about it with, I mean, when I was a kid, pornography. I mean, boys love their, you know, they're like, oh my gosh. And you get your National Geographic or your mom's Cosmopolitan magazine. And there's a picture of like part of a rear end. And it's like, oh my gosh. Now
Pepsi commercials with hot, tight pants. I remember this one commercial. I'm like, yeah, baby, that's a good commercial. You know,
what commercial?
That was some Pepsi thing. And
Pepsi. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it really started getting sexualized.
Pause the VCR. Hold on. Look at that. Heine.
Right. You know, and it's been, an evolution in attention. They want your attention. And that's kind of the core of what I'm talking about is your attention. They've taken your attention. And how do you address that? What is your attention? You're being diverted.
You're on it. What is your attention on? What? Because you're going to get, you know, there's a, so I did some work in NASCAR years ago, and there's a few really great anecdotes I could share, but one of them was, you know, race car drivers, when there's a crash, they look towards where there's going to be an opening or where there is an opening, because our tendency is you see something wrong, you see something bad going on,
you drive right towards it. Yeah.
And then you move towards it and you hit it. So you can't look at the thing you don't want. You have to look at what you do want. So where is your attention? What do you want? That's why it's the granddaddy question. Put your attention on what you want. Then you're going to be asking yourself, well, how do I get that? How can I create that? How can I get more of this? But with the ease of, and we were talking about pornography, shopping. I mean, like, think about Amazon. I mean, God bless Amazon and damn Amazon, right? That you can click, and depending on where you are in the country, I mean, like, if you live in New York City, you can click and have that book on your doorstep that night. Why? Because the distribution center is in Newark, right there. You know, and that, I know that goes on in different parts of the country or probably different parts of the world. Worst case, you're going to get it in 2 days. So we want what we want now, first of all. And second of all, we want, right, what do we want now? We want the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, entertainment, pleasure. And this is not good for us. We need to get used to delayed gratification. We need to invest in tomorrow. We need to invest in the community. There's a great, you know, I'm sure some of your folks are familiar with Jordan Peterson. He's a big fan of referring to
clean your room.
Clean your room. He's the French philosopher. Forgetting his name. It'll come up in a moment. But Derrida or
hell, I'm just saying Foucault. Stuff that sounds French.
It's somebody that he admired. His name will come up. But basically, the idea is, in studying mice, what you find is that the stronger, when they wrestle and they play, the stronger mouse has to let the weaker mouse, when they wrestle, win at least 20% of the time. Otherwise, the other mouse will just give up and won't want to play anymore. And, you know, the question is, what kind of game are you playing in your life? Well, these mice, the game they're playing is, we're going to wrestle and I'm going to show you who's boss, but sometimes I'm going to let you win. So that we can have pleasure today, tomorrow, next week, and 5 years from now. So I need to be paying attention to, how am I living right now? Is it good for me now? But will it also iterate over time, over society, right? Over all sorts of people. And if I could only live in a way that is that good, that's how we create a better world, right? Versus I want this and therefore whatever. I'm going to do this. Damn you. No rulers. Anarchy. Yeah, man. No. Anarchy without a recognition, or volunteerism without a recognition that there is a moral urge, God, there is truth, that there is a moral
truth. Oh my God.
Something, then we're just damned into being hedonistic slobs that just, and we're going to descend right back into whoever's got the biggest gun wins.
There's always rules, but what we're talking about is there not being rulers, you know?
Correct.
And I really have embraced that. And now we have a series on HBO, The Anarchist, you know, and they're going, and a lot of people talking about it and so on. But
oh, that's the one from Anarchapulco. That's like a 6-part thing they're doing.
Right. But yeah. I don't know. I didn't see the second. I saw the first one because I got a lot of calls from people because, you know, I get my 10 seconds here and there, get to say a phrase of whatever. And because they've been covering this for a while and doing canned when I was speaking and such. Oh, Ernie, you're in there. I got to watch it. What did I say this time? But it was, I think, what was it? Uncovering the Secrets and Exposing the Lies, which is the catchphrase, a slogan on Freedom's Phoenix, you know.
Okay.
When we started that, you know, it's, what's your slogan? I got to have a slogan? Okay. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Because I was just tired of being lied to all the time.
Yeah.
So we archive a lot of stuff. I don't even search, you know, search engines anymore. I just search my own site. I got 700,000 articles on there. You know, so I'm like, you know, I know that we wrote about it. It's gone. I mean, they just stripped the internet of everything now. It's amazing, the memory.
And you, your site holds it. You got a different server?
Yeah, no, I mean, we put, you know, all this content, you know, for, God, since 05. So if I did it, it's there, and I just
search, great.
I just search my own site on the top right. You'll see a little search thing, and I just search it, and you go, there it is.
And I'm just asking for my own, because I've only been on your site a handful of times. You've got tons of stuff in there, but it exists independent from where it used to live on somebody else's page. It exists on your site now.
Yeah. Okay, I want to show you this. This is good for, I mean, just as a quick aside here, because
sure.
I want people to, you know, benefit from this. Let's see which one. I probably go this. Okay, you can see the full screen. Your pretty face here. Right. Come on. Yeah.
You much see. Run.
Okay. So on the top right, when you go in, we'll see the show. And this is for people. When you're going to view this show, now we have a pocket. Now this is on air now on the network, and then over here is the live stream. You know that's doing now. But this right here, this is where the search engine is. And if I put something, anything in there that...
9/11.
Oh, well, that'll blow up all over the place. But, you know,
yeah.
I go 9/11. And what happens is we also have that you can do Freedom's Phoenix and a Google search, because they put this on there back in the day, but I don't even care about them anymore. This is just... internalized,
okay.
You know, and it's just 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11, you know, 10 years after, you know, 9/11, 9/11. But I mean, some obscure things, you know, that are something that they are hiding. If we ever did a story on it, it comes up, you know. So it more and more, as they're hiding stuff from us, you know, I'm like, no, I know we covered that. And then I'll find it and I'm going, damn, and it's a lot, especially video. They are eliminating a lot of stuff. And the reason I'm glad to bring that up, you know, just as a tool for people, but you said that, and we met at Porcupine Freedom Festival, and of course you don't live too far from there, but you knew autonomy, you know. Richard, did you do autonomy, or you're using them as a marketing resource, or what's your relationship with Richard Grove and friends?
Both. Yeah, no, they're all just what great people. I mean, it's really a hub of aliveness over there at their tent. So I hired Autonomy Unlimited to help me do some rebranding. You've got the site up there. It's going to be basically the same site. There's going to be some new copy up there because I wanted to put my attention on focusing on helping those of us in the Freedom community more.
Why?
Would you say why?
Yeah.
Well, because... It got to the point for me where a couple things. One is I love being able to have a conversation with you. And I've done other interviews where, you know, if it's about coaching, I can say only so much. But if you say men and women, they're like, and like waiting for me to name other genders. Like there's no other genders. Okay. There's men and women, and you can feel however you want to feel about yourself. And I don't care. Like, really, bless you. And I just want to say a word about this, because I, you know, if this can be useful for anybody that, that's listening, it's because, again, we don't want to be like, they're idiots. They're just, this is not helpful. In fact, I wanted to say something about this no rules versus no rulers thing. One of my new passions has been really working with anarchists or volunteerists to really clean up how we show up, because, you know, it's almost like Christians who are very unchristian and then telling you to come to church with them next Sunday. It's right. Like, now you're turning people off. So you be a great example of what a Christian should be, and then I might be interested in going to church with you. But if I see you being, you know, all over the place, I go, out nothing what you got. So I want the same for volunteerists. Anyway, what was I just saying before that?
Well, we were talking about your relationship with Richard and using them.
Oh, Richard. Okay.
And then
so I want, why you said
the Freedom
community. Yeah. Why? Well, because look, the rest of the world has has coaches, and people believe this and they believe that. And I found myself wanting to talk and everything. And working now with a couple people, I've got, I think like 8 people I'm working with right now. And that's about right for me. But only a couple people are really freedom-minded people. To be able to work with those other folks, those freedom-minded people, and go like, man, can you believe what the World Economic Forum is doing? Blah, blah, blah. I'm so sick of this bullshit, blah, blah, blah. No, I know, man. I know. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Oh, good, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I get it. And, you know, we're still working on this other stuff. So what else do you need to say about this before we get back over here? And it's so nice for them, and it's nice for me to be able to relate like this, is to be able to have someone have their experience. Because guess what? You and I know what's going on in the world to a much larger extent than the average person. In fact, Richard Gage is having me on his podcast. He has bumped me out into September. He's got a big project he's doing. But what we're going to be doing a talk on is processing your 9/11 grief. And I thought it was a brilliant idea on his part, because I don't care if you're from New York City, from New York State, from the East Coast, you're from America, or in the world, we all were hit in some way on that day. And when we don't process our sadness, our grief, our concern, wait a second, I remember the world was different. But you don't process that lodges in what we were talking about before we started recording. Dis-ease causes disease. So the idea is to think about it, process it, be with it, and then integrate it in a way that's powerful, rather than just be run by it when it's below the radar. And so for people to be able to come to me and go like, man, 9/11, I'm sick of this crap, and have it. And then be able to work on their weight or their relationships or their money or their business.
Well, you know, it's not just – everybody's so nice. Got their own 9/11. I mean, it's kind of like
– yeah, know, but as an example.
The reason I bring it up is we have current stuff is freaking COVID. I mean,
totally.
So it's like, you know, JFK, Vietnam War, Watergate, inflation and crap of, you know, the first term.
2008. Whatever.
You know, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City, 9/11, 2008 financial crash, COVID.
All of it.
I mean, it never stops.
Ernest.
We need
Ernest, it never stops. But if you say, and we're just riffing here, right? But if you hired me, you would say, and I'm making stuff up here again, right? But you'd go like, so you might start our phone call and say, Ron, this friggin' thing with my assistant, it's going good, but son of a bitch here, and then China's doing this and that. They're going to start, you know, chipping people. Son of a bitch, I'm sick of this stuff. How nice for you to be able to go air that out with, besides your wife, right? But who you can air that out with, who will listen to you for a certain amount of time before we both go, got it? And what are you creating? What do you want? Because at the end of the day, we can whine and cry and complain and fuss and have our process, our feelings, which is all valid to a certain extent, because if we're going to be benefactors, redeemers, conquerors, exercising dominion, creating a life, creating a better world, then we've got to do our own work so that we can go out there and do it, lest we're in constant reaction to what's going on. So you bet 9/11, Waco, any of this stuff creates stuff inside us that we need to get out, express in a healthy way, in a healthy environment, in a safe environment, where then you can create clearly without all that baggage. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to be fertile ground. I mean, you know, you got to, you know, say, and that's one, you know, reason, you know, before we run out of time, I wanted to ask you why Freedom Community, you know, there. I need to, yeah, I'm going to focus here. I want, you know, because it's a good market and you're dealing with, I don't know, people maybe need help in a different way, you know, and what brings to mind? Okay. Give me a second. In 1994, you know, when by that time, you know, I'd met my first libertarians probably a couple of years earlier, and I'm going, wow, finally, I'm not crazy. I thought everybody, I'm like, this is not right. Who the hell is doing this? I mean, you know, and it was just as bad as now somebody getting a Facebook account and getting, you know, freaking crazy in the head, which I think there's a lot more of that. But the, yeah. So then you get the libertarian, all right, well, you got to read this, and this. Okay, and the first thing, you know, one of the big things, Atlas Shrugged. When you read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, the one thing that I found very interesting is how much time she spent on the character of these people. You know, how, you know, they're, you know, Statenist. I mean, you know, So these statists, I got statenist.com. I came up with that one. I like that one, so I got that. I'm going to have some fun with that later. But the so you get this statist mentality, and I'm going, okay, what is wrong with these people? I mean, there's something wrong, and there's some fundamental foundational thing of, man, I don't want, why do I fix them? They're default crazy, whacked out, you know, scumbags anyway. We'll let somebody else do that. But, you know, what we really need to do, I guess you made the decision to emphasize on those that, you know, have the right philosophy. They just need help to maximize their capabilities, yeah, their personality, their relationship, you know, the stuff that you're talking about. So to make a conscious decision to avoid this big, giant, oh, my God, statenist, freaking whatever the hell is wrong with them, and focus on the voluntarists, the people that believe that they own themselves. I mean, the first thing, they got self-agency, that mindset right there, yeah, is like a, how much of a, you know, big giant load of rocks you don't have to haul around, you know, as a therapist or something. I'm just, you know, or a coach. I'm just wondering, you know, that conscious decision to deal with freedom-oriented, I own myself, I don't need somebody, I rule what's underneath this hat kind of, you know, mindset. Was that a conscious decision? Was it a 100%. Preference? Was it marketing? Was it, why? Why did you make that decision?
Yeah, and bear with me. I want to answer, and I want to just even say, Walter Williams, there's a few people, you know, right, you're going to name your Murray Rothbard or, you know, whoever right. really influenced, you know, you or anyone else has their own version, but I am not a total anarchist in that there will never be, because we're going to have people that we're going to say, look, Ron, you five people, you guys are in charge of the roads. You got to make sure that we keep our roads in our neighborhood or our town or our little community right. We're going to do, there is going to be something at some level, there's going to be an organization of people who we delegate some things to. There's a question about voluntary.
Yeah, I just want to be able to undelegate.
I want to be able to, exactly. And I want to be able to voluntarily leave without having to lose my home, my, you know, all that other stuff. Right. So there's a lot to unwind over there. And I honestly have found that anarchists can be just as insanely insane with a religious attachment to no rulers as any religion or any as any religionist or you know, COVIDian, as they say, who just can't even see it because you've captured a fact, which is you own yourself, and then you can't actually look at the complexity and the nuances beyond that. So what I want to say is, look, let's grab a few principles. Thank you, Walter Williams. I own myself. No one has a higher claim of authority over me. What better, you mentioned the word agency, what better philosophical underpinning could express that you have agency to create and change your life and make it on your terms than that? And I think there is so much, like, we really probably could have a whole conversation about nothing but the implications of Ron Renaud, Ernest Hancock. They independently own themselves. No one has a higher claim of authority. Now what? And that is, there's the money right there. Now, to answer the question, what it is I found myself loving these types of conversations. I have these conversations with a handful of friends frequently. I've never been to a Freedom Festival except for the Pork Fest, which had me, I pulled onto the campus or the campsite and went, holy cow, I haven't even seen anybody yet. I've just seen a few tents with stuff that I like and, you know, Gadsden flag here and funky psychedelic stuff, which I'm not into, but I love the Freedom vibe. I'm like, I'm coming back next year. The idea of being around my people more and more, because think about
what you
do. You
found your tribe.
I want to be around my people. I want to be surrounded by my people. Now, it doesn't mean I don't want to be an evangelist, so to speak, and do the work with other people outside of our people, so to speak. But yeah, man, to be able to contribute to those people, to be with these people, it makes things easier. It makes it fun. It makes it more, it's that extra 10% that we were talking about salt earlier, right? It's like that, it's that dash of seasoning that makes something a little bit more potent.
Well, does it make your job easier? I mean, a lot of times
it does make my job easier.
When you're dealing with other people that aren't of that mindset, that they own themselves, I can just see that. Man, it's like a whole big giant hurdle you got to get over just to even.
But Ernest, the thing is, people aren't consistent. People aren't consistent. So the people who don't consider, like you and I do, that they own themselves, I'll give you a quick example. I was talking to a friend of mine who is like, she would probably say I'm center left, something like that, whatever the hell that means, statist. you know, they like this flavor of, you know, people pointing guns at them to get stuff done, right? Okay. But we were talking about, she's a total naturalist. And she's like, I love bugs and deer and everything else. But she said, but I see the deer crouching over there, the little babies. And I watch their mom get up and I think, and she's a killer. She's an awesome gal. She's like, I'm going to probably kill your mother come fall, come deer season. I will shoot the mother, your mother, and eat it. And she's like, that's what I'm going to do. Cause that's kind of the cycle of life. And I will kill anything that comes into my house that's trying to make a home. This is my home. These are my boundaries. And she's a lovely human being, a lovely woman in many, many ways. But I thought, isn't that funny? Yet here we are. It's like, no, anybody's allowed to have this and do this and whatever. And it's like, we're not good at being, at taking that philosophy and living it out in the world. You know, dealing with, we're not good at being consistent. So there is ease in working with anarchists in a number of ways because we've got a similar lexicon, a similar understanding. And volunteers can also be pains in the asses because they don't oftentimes want to really think about the impact on other people because they're free. It's like, no, dude, you still got to get this other lesson. You know, there is a moral imperative. There is a moral urge. You do need to go within and think. And I haven't worked with anybody who doesn't go like, oh, shit, you're right. Right. And that's just so. Now, that said, then working with people who aren't of the similar freedom mindset, it doesn't mean that they aren't capitalist or let's use the more proper language. They're not into free enterprise and free voluntary exchange. Mm-hmm. And so, again, they've got to be consistent in other areas, and I get to help them with that. But, yeah, they love their Apple Watch. They love making great money. They love, you know, their husbands or wives or whatever. And so there's no knuckleball, as we said when we were kids, knuckleball beats mother. There's no panacea, no one group of easy altogether. It's just that I love being able to help those.
Well, I can imagine realized. It being a lot easier, and you're speaking the same language. A lot of times, you got to define your terms. I mean, you got to, you just got to, first you got to have the same language. You know, you're even talking about. And what was it that made you market to that community to shift over that way? Something happened. I mean, that you would even know to do it. You know, or that you knew it was there to do. You know, so
It's perennially on my mind. I mean, I've not marketed except for little bits and pieces. I have a website. I'm blessed enough that I do what I do and people refer me. And so it's not I've got a big marketing push that I've got to do in order to. But as I reached out to Autonomy, the idea was, okay, I want to clean some things up. I want my message to be more clearly about freedom so that, and you know, if someone checks my website in a couple of weeks, they'll see, oh yeah, I can see that thread in there about freedom that isn't in there now, where the average guy out there, a gal, is going to look at it and go like, oh yeah, I want that. But they may not be a volunteerist. They may not be thinking about freedom like you and I are. And also when you read it, you're gonna be like, oh man, I really get what Ron's saying. You'll read it in a different level. It's sort of like not encoded, but it's like, there's different levels of way in which you could read it and how I've written what I've done. Now I'm forgetting the question you asked.
Well, no, we were talking about the intention of selecting.
Oh, the marketing aspect.
Community. Well, no,
look,
I wanted to
the idea
know
for
why.
Me is
I wanted to know what happened that you go.
Nothing happened.
I don't want to deal with these guys anymore. I'm COVID-ed up. All the FOMO Facebook people can suck it. I'm over here. I don't want to fix broken people. Let's amplify. I want some elite mental athletes that we can maximize their potential and all this. I'm freaking so sick of getting in the mire and muck of their emotional drama, freaking soup of, oh, my God, and we're going to focus over here. And I tell you, let me rant a little bit on this.
Go for it.
Because this is something that, you know, has been an impact on me, you know, from the beginning of our activism. And the way I would justify it is I go, the only way I know to be free for me and my family, my kids, grandkids, is to advocate it for everybody. You know,
right.
If you don't do that, you know, then you're always in opposition with people that don't know what the hell's going on or, you know, kind of. But at some point, you know, it gets either it's an age thing or the times we live in or whatever. And things are going to get bad. This is going to be a food thing. I guarantee it. You know,
I think so.
Blah, blah, blah. It's going to be a food thing, which turns people into primal, you know, you got food, I don't. And guess what? You know, so a lot of people will turn to the government, or they'll just turn to their shotgun, or they'll turn to whatever you got to defend against the galloping hordes of I'm starving. And, you know, you want to, at some point, protect you and yours. And I'm going, you know, we need to, you know, that's why we're doing the dome thing. You know, we shared, you know, what we're doing here. We're heavy in the middle of doing that. And getting some equipment. We've been prototyping, experimenting, because the idea is to provide safe, secure, not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too hungry, not too thirsty, you know, place for the voluntarist, the freedom community, to be able to survive and thrive. Where are you going to do your homeschooling? Where are you going to, you know, grow your food? Where are you? Well, it ain't going to be in the city. I mean, it can be, but, you know, yeah, you got somebody else wanting to tell you how it is, and there's always a clipboard with a shiny badge, and they're going to, you know, give you a citation or something. So we need to occupy the land. You know, we're going to occupy Wall Street, occupy Washington, D.C. But they're going to get crap. Who gives a crap? We're going to have a revolution so new guys with guns are in charge of the marble and monuments. I don't give a crap. Now I just leave me alone. I'm out here. So when you move to New Hampshire, you know, from upstate New York, I mean, you know, I don't know how much of a change.
Rural New Hampshire from suburban New York. But go ahead.
Okay. So when you go to New Hampshire, you go to Pork Fest, you hook up with Autonomy, you get to know Richard and friends, you get to see, you know, us and all of us. And I've been to like the 15th, you know, freaking Pork Fest or whatever. And I never planned to go. I just wind up there. You know, it's kind of like a salmon thing. But what happens is that it's a network, a Liberty Nexus. You know, it's where you go to meet other people. That's the way the Libertarian National Conventions used to be. It was like the high school dance. You know, it's where, you know, the cool kids went to find out where the real party was. I mean, you know, so this is a networking thing. And once you create that and you start focusing towards our future, I'm less concerned about waking up humanity or saving people or bringing, you know, if you don't see it now, it's deliberate. And it's just, you're being stupid. I mean, you know, if I can't save everybody, but it's good to have a light, you know, up, you know, a spotlight going up saying, over here, man. I mean, you know, the dawn is breaking on this half of the sky. It's, you know, the sunrise is going to be over there somewhere. And then it starts to get, you know, closer, bing, the sun pops up over the hill and, you know, there it is. So that's what I see is coming. And the decision that you made to maximize the potential of those people that at least know which side of the sky the dawn's going to break, you know, and where and what, there had to be a conscious decision to do that. And you left, would you take a statinist client? You know, they got all these baggage and problems. I mean, you know, the answer is yes. It's just
totally. Listen, man, here's the thing. And this is what I keep harping on is, you know, I love Ralph Waldo Emerson. He's got a great line where he says, The exclusionist in religion shuts the door of heaven on himself. Basically, you're not Christian enough. You're a sinner. You're that. Well, right. In your judgment, in your contempt for that person, you've acted as unchristian, as unholy, as unforgiving, as unmerciful. You're out. You're out. Not the person who's sinning. You're out. So the same thing is, I want to make sure that those of us, here's what, two things I want to say right now. One is, I could feel the energy, and energy, of course, is real. I could feel the energy when I pulled onto that campground in Lancaster when we were all there, when you guys were there and I joined you. There is a vibe there, and the vibe there is, I mean, the guns that people were wearing on their hips, I loved it. I just, you know, and a well-armed society is a polite society, as they say. Why? Because we know we don't want to escalate to violence, so we can talk it out. And the idea is, working with people who, like you and I, are thinking, how do we first talk this out? What do we need to do to really work this out? That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But like I was saying before, the statists or whatever that we bump into, that we're like, hey, that's a decent person, except for the fact that they want to point a gun at me to build a library. People are so inconsistent, and there's an unconsciousness there that we need to make sure that we have mercy for, rather than just like, F them, they're the... Because then you're out. Then you are going to have no influence, because they're going to associate anarchist or volunteerist with a-hole who's impatient, just like no different than your Christian, my Christian example from earlier, where it's like, this Christian is so arrogant, so snotty, and they want to invite me to church. We want to invite people into the land of freedom. We've got to do it in a way that's loving, merciful, wise, patient,
let me
but
go
clear.
Now, let me make some comments here. One,
please.
You know, I can see the benefit of Jesus going to the brothel. It's a target-rich environment, okay?
Yeah.
And, you know, and in politics and, you know, certainly in life, even in business, you know, I've had many businesses, owned a family pizza restaurant for years and,
yep.
you know, ran my own businesses, so on. So I've, you know, gone through my slew of permits and clipboards and, you know, whatever the hell. But as you go into the fray with these people, you know, at some point you're kind of, you know, I did that. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to, you know, provide a landing space for my family. I got other responsibilities other than to everybody else or how high I can get on the media pedestal or, you know, I've done that. You know, Tarin radio station, you know, one of the early libertarians in a major media market. I mean, you know, those morning afternoon shows in, you know, Phoenix, Arizona. How often does that happen, you know? And I kind of like, you know, no, I can see it's going to be internet. I can have much of, you know, these numbers you're getting all freaked out about. Hell, I had that many MP3 downloads. MP what? I mean, you know, so things have evolved. And now I'm gotten to the point in my life to where I want to make sure this philosophy of there are rules, but you don't have to have, you know, forced upon you kings, you know, rulers telling you what to do all the time. And that mindset needs to be, you know, supported, emphasized, and the best revenge is living well, you know, kind of deal. And
that's
when
right.
Everybody wants all this intentional community thing. Last 2 years, Don and I have been traveling the country doing the studio, you know, on the bus, the love bus going around, so on. And the number one thing has been moving out and getting away from the bad guys. It's intentional
yep.
communities and stuff. So I go, what do I have to do? What can't I do? And what's your conflict resolution? Answer those three things, and we'll talk about whether I want you as a neighbor or not. So that's why I'm big into private property. I get, you know, this is my fences make good neighbors, you know, probably at least a couple of acres, wanted to get 10 acres, you know, for me and my four kids, their families kind of, and everybody gets 2 acres that I enjoyed where we were before. That was good
Perfect.
Enough, and I didn't have to, you know, listen to the neighbors yell at each other. Well, I don't care. So
yeah.
This is kind of where I'm heading now. And that was why I wanted to talk to you, because I'm going, yeah, here's a guy that's made a choice to deal with voluntarists, at least as a marketing thing. Say, hey,
yeah.
I'm over here to provide help. I mean, somebody else wants to give me money, fine. But, you know, you have a lot of less baggage that you got to unpack, you know, because a lot of people, you're already on one of the big giant things, is you have responsibility for yourself, to yourself, you know, this is, you own yourself, you know, who else? Yeah, well, God's in charge, yeah, but you're the steward of this life that he gave you.
Amen,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So, and that's another thing, are you a person of faith? And what do you, you know, I just tell you straight up, you know, Donna and I are known as the crazy Christian libertarians since, you know, forever, you know? And, you know, we even did in the early 90s, when I was county chairman in Maricopa County in Phoenix area, we had a bunch of different bumper stickers and sayings and all kinds of crazy stuff. But one of them I put, Jesus is libertarian, with a small L. And we put that on my car. I go to church, and they're like, what the hell? And I go, look, because they were trying to push that America is a Christian nation. You know, they're really pushing that. And I'm going, God's like, man, don't be giving me in the middle of your crap, you know? So I
yeah,
put, you want
America.
To know, you know, yeah, America. You know, Jesus is libertarian, which means what? You know, there's no virtue in coercion of doing something. You know, you got to, you know, understand and do things for the right reasons. And, you know, and compassion is a big part of it. And, you know, just a lot of things that we wanted to emphasize on that. And I think it was successful. But the point is that by making this is what I wanted to talk to you about. What are you dealing with? The things that people are coming to you, and how does it differ from a Statenist as opposed to someone that recognizes their own ownership of their life? And I'm in the point now to where I'm not waving my arms around trying to fix everybody or having a light to them. I'm more about solidifying and strengthening our community of people that already, at least, you know, own themselves, you know, or have responsibility for themselves and their family and understand that a government program ain't going to fix it, you know?
No, so, you threw like six questions over there. I'm going to pepper a few answers at you quick. No. One, I used to be a Christian. I am not anymore. I'm heavily involved. I grew up Catholic, became an ignorant atheist, and those two do go together. There is a higher power. I'm not the highest power. So I was an ignorant atheist. My first wife had some big issues with her pregnancy. My son could have died. She could have died. We're like, oh my gosh, we need God. And we returned. We went to a Protestant church for about 7 years. I got really well steeped in the Bible. Today, if you read my book, which if you don't have a copy, I'm happy to send you a copy. You're going to see the influence in there. And the influence ultimately, there's a couple biblical stories I reference in there for sure. But the idea is I don't say it like this, but the idea is there is good to return to. There is good to pay attention to. And those are integrity, enthusiasm, courage, endurance, and several other wonderful qualities that we can return to and we can live out. The idea is that Jesus is saying, and I believe is, live like this. This is the way.
There you go. There you go.
This is how it's done. So, you know, you've said several things that I just wish we had more time to play with here, but I'm finding myself in my younger days wanting, I used to like 9/11 was and you know, you just want to tell and you try to wake people up. And like you said, if people are not waking or stirring now, there are groups of people now that I literally, and it's not an ego thing. I just don't have any time to, if I'm with them and they want to converse, I'm happy. There are those who are open to learning. I'm happy to point them your way or their way or have a conversation. Great. But increasingly, I'm working on building my property up in New Hampshire to make sure I've got fruits and vegetables and things going on. My home is in order. And friends network there. And that I'm having joy and happiness in my life. Because guess what? Volunteerists and freedom loving people are some of the most miserable people out there. Why? Because we see what's going on and we're miserable. And to me, I will not do Klaus Schwab's work. My job is to know reality, know what's going on in the world, and to grow sufficiently to deal with it in a way that I get to maintain my peace, my happiness, live as a free man. And if we can do that, that's success. As I build my million-dollar empire or get this level of fitness or whatever else. And that's what I'm trying to go for my clients as well. Know what's going on in the world, volunteerist or statist. Come to see things more clearly. Grow sufficiently to deal with it and create your life on your terms. Never mind the plans that Klaus Schwab has for you. Why are you worrying about that so much? And we do. I want to be aware of gun laws coming. I want to be aware of these things. But instead, you chart your course. And when enough people really know themselves, respect themselves, govern themselves towards what they want, then we're going to usher in a new season of freedom, of peace, of heaven on earth. Until then, now, we're busy fighting their nonsense, which means we're playing their game still. That's not the way out, bro.
Yeah, which is you're an add to this community by providing these services to people that, you know, really, you know, they're much further down the road to help themselves than probably a lot of the other guys. And is this a trend? You know, are you seeing this? And why did you, you know, were you even aware of the Free State Project? Did you go to New Hampshire?
Yeah.
You know, that was the reason I need to get away from Nueva York. I mean, you know,
Oh, please. I went to New Hampshire, and it's funny how there's an old adage. It's a Bedouin saying, me against my brother, me and my brother against our cousin, me and my brother and my cousin against a stranger. The idea basically is no matter where you go, you're going to find something to contend against, fight against, rebel against, push against. We're just very contentious. And, you know, if you leave us all on that campground as volunteerists, in time, there will be factions. We're the weed smokers. Oh, yeah. We're the Christian libertarians. That's just what's going to happen. And you need to have the thing that unifies us. We realize you folks can do naked yoga over there. Us in the Christian community, we're going to live over here. So that, and that's just the way that is. And Ernest, you're going to forgive me again. I just forgot the question. Can I blame my age? I don't think so. What did you ask?
No, I asked about 400 questions at a time. You know, when you moved to New Hampshire, I was wondering if you knew what you were getting into. And
for a long time, the reason I brought that up is for a long time, I've been known New York is not my place. Ross Perot woke me up, and, you know, whatever he was, he woke me up in 91 and 92, I think it was when he ran, right? Yep. Or would have been 90 and 91. And it was right around then where I went from being like, I'm a Republican because I'm not a Democrat, to wait a second, there's this thing out there. Freedom matters. Wait, the people who are in power actually make a difference on my life. When that started happening, I started becoming really discontent with New York, and New Hampshire always, you know, sort of represented the freest place. I didn't know Florida was, you know, kind of neck and neck and back and forth with New Hampshire for a long time. And there's some other really great states like Alaska and others out there that do have, you know, some nonsense going on, but essential freedom. But yeah, when I heard about the Free State Project and learned about a lot of the initiatives going on in New Hampshire, for me, and I've got a buddy in in Idaho, I've got friends who are thinking about moving to Florida and then Texas. And my concern with Florida is, I do believe the powers that be are going to let DeSantis keep doing what he's doing. And then all these executive orders that he's doing that we like, you know, we all like them, they're going to get used on the other side by a Democrat in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. And it's going to turn that place into not the bastion of freedom that we all are enjoying, at least from afar. It's going to turn into something very different. New Hampshire, even though Sununu is no freedom loving guy, the motto is live free or die. And there is a great population of people.
Come on, Starlink. Usually it goes no more than 10 seconds. There, you're back. Wow.
Okay. So what I was saying is what pushed me over the edge for New Hampshire was that there is a heritage of a spirit of freedom, live free or die. And there are so many groups and initiatives going on there that people want that there. There's the people from Massachusetts are creeping up and occupying the southern tier for sure. But there is a spirit of freedom in New Hampshire that ultimately live free or die. And that's how I joke with my friends. I said, well, I'm building the cabin that the ATF is going to kill me in. So until then, but you know, on the other hand, it's like, no, this is how I want to live. This is the community I want to surround myself with. And yeah, like I said, the community in New Hampshire put me over the edge to make that my
home. I'm glad that you're focusing on helping those that know that they need to help themselves. I would think it would make your job easier, you know, and more fun.
Well, like I said, people are inconsistent, and I don't talk about, I don't introduce ideas. People come, or topics. They come to me saying, look, I'm making, you know, $1 million a year. I got to make two for my three businesses so that I can do this and that, or, you know, I'm working on this with my wife or husband or whatever else. So they come with those agendas, and it's how we live. And so it's going to be implicit in the philosophy that they live out, but it's not going to be the central topic. And it's not going to be certainly put forth in policy with Ukraine or COVID. These comments that they might make about the vaccine or the so-called pandemic or any of these other things, they only get dropped in. And if there's something I can do to comment on it, I'll throw a little something in there, but it doesn't come up. And so what happens is people are so very inconsistent that they will talk all like about freedom, like you and I would when it comes to economics and then their relationships. But then they take a 180 degree turn when it comes to other things that you and I are, you know, ripping our hair out over because they are end up being the source of so many of our problems. So,
okay, let's go ahead. And, you know, this is a good thing to end it on. I want to give your prediction of as things devolve into more primal. Oh, my God, where's my next meal? And it's already happening. You know, some people that are on the edge, you know, financially and the inflation,
right,
and it costs this much. This is happening. And I remember when Don and I had four children, poor activists in the early 90s of, oh, my God, we were, you know, on the edge. But we invested in this freedom thing so much. Now, we've been hardcore activists since the late 80s. And what happened was I came aware of how corrupt it was. You know, it's just. And it's a long story, but I'm like, wow. And the way I would describe it to my kids, I mean, I don't know, what are you going to say? And, you know, I knew how freaking being a pedophile was like a minimum job requirement to be a congressman kind of thing, you know? And I'm going, these people, the more you get to know all these people that rule you kind of thing, is, man, they're pointy horn, blood dripping, pointy fang, pointy tail people. I mean, I didn't know what else to how to describe it. I go, no, it's evil. I mean, they're bad. And then you start to see that there's character traits. They're sociopaths. They're psychopaths. Yeah. You know, they not only do they not care, a lot of times they get pleasure out of being a butthead. And the power, and that feeds itself. It becomes like a campfire. And I remember it was an old Western movie or something that the philosophy of the Apache, the reason when they would capture people and they would torture them, burn them, whatever, you know, just because they thought it benefited them, they gained more of their victim's power through their pain and screaming, and it'd amp them up. And I can see that. It's like a war. They're on the war path. I mean, you know, they're kind of this path that they. So I'm seeing these bad guys, they're on the war path. They're, you know, there is opposition. They're going to control. They're going to take. They're going to do. They're going to. And, you know, even going after them, you kind of, it's like you want to take a bath. You need to cleanse your soul. I'd much rather build up our own forces, get more productive and better here. That's why I was really happy they did the COVID and, you know, oh, we're going to close the schools, thinking they're, oh, please babysit my kids. I need the devil to babysit my kid. Finally, a lot of people go, nah, we're good. Thank you. We're homeschooling now. I don't think they, you know, really, because they can't.
They didn't expect that.
They can't.
Because there's a different thing, though, they are expecting. And I got like 2 minutes and I got to rock and roll. One of the things that I do think they're pushing us toward, though, is they didn't expect it, perhaps. But also, I think they're turning our homes into our prisons, where all we need to work, all we need to poop and eat and relate, it's all in this prison cell right here. And I can paint my prison cell any color I want and have the lawn in front of my prison cell different color. So I think they're very happy to have us home. And I don't think they, whoever they are really overly concerned with all these homeschool kids, because what are you going to do? You're going to work through the apparatus called the federal government to change or wherever you are in the world. The psychology is so bent that I own that we don't see that I own myself. And therefore the answer is no. And this is where I stand. Since that's not the case, I don't think they're too threatened by it. I think it's good. I think it's good for individuals, but until you and I change, until the next person changes, until we make these domes and, you know, invite people onto my property and we create these communities that are just going to be a stand for something, we're just going to keep succumbing to what's coming. And you said it, there's going to be famine. They're going to go hard. They're pushing hard on this gun control with all these nonsensical BS, which I can't prove all of them, but
it's been a steady attack. My whole
it's been a steady attack on guns, regardless of what is fomenting it. But I think they need to disarm us a little further. And then when they create a food shortage, there's going to be a lot of helpless victims. But I know me and many others who have firearms are not giving up our firearms. And if you want to shoot me to take my firearm in order to, because I might commit a crime, then we're going to have a shootout, and it's going to suddenly my little home is going to be called a compound in the media. And that's the way it's going to be. I hate to end like this, but if that's the way they want to go, then that's the way it will go. I think the most important thing you can do, you as a Christian, me not necessarily as a Christian, or many other good-hearted people out there who want to live well, you've got to focus on is live your life on your terms rather than staying stuck in the game that Klaus Schwab or the puppet Donald Trump has playing out through him, or Biden, or any of these people. Don't play their game. What does it mean to be a free man or woman? Spend your time and think about what that is, and then live that out. Do you dare to live that out? And that, to me, is a question worth ending on.
And it's great to have Ron Renaud, ronrenaud.com. Yeah, and let's get that spelling out so you guys know it. Ron, RonRenaud.com. It's great to have someone with this mindset and these abilities to help amplify our capability. You know, because a lot of times people that, you know, probably a lot more sane than their neighbors, you know, and understand the reality of the world and are preparing for it, we need help too, you know. Yeah. And even a lot of times we're always looked to and, you know, what do we think about and kind of, and the leaders. But, you know, we need to emphasize, you know, things that need to be emphasized in our life and de-emphasized. And you brought up.
We all need an ally.
Yeah, thank you. Ron's an ally. You know, help us get. And you say, who are they? And I always, that was one of the first questions when I first started doing radio in 03. They, who are they? You conspiracy, tinfoil hat wearing, whatever. And I go, good question. There are those that wish to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. You know, yep. That's how I identify who they, them, those are. T3. They're the
we don't have to go 40 levels up the pyramid. We don't have to go all the way to the top of the pyramid. We can keep it really simple like that. I love it.
Yeah, they won't leave me alone. They're some shiny badger doing something. You know, Ron, thanks. This is great. We made a new friend. If there's some, you know, reason you think we need to have a conversation again, or some psychology pops up and you're doing therapy for all the kids now on the metaverse or something a year from now, you know, let me know. You know, we may be talking again. I'm glad you escaped, you know, New York, and you're up there. I mean, you're still in the snow. I'm from Arizona. But, you know, the thing is that having you as a resource, that's why I wanted to talk to you, because I wanted to see what we were dealing with, too. You know, what is it that, you know, even the freedom community, and there's more to talk about, but this is a great introduction to you and your work. Thank you. RonRenaud.com. Peace, brother.
Peace, brother. Thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.